mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. In today's gospel lesson, we see again that familiar picture of our Lord's earthly ministry, going throughout the various regions of first century Palestine. He is followed by large crowds desiring to see, to hear, and be healed by this miraculous man from Galilee. Undoubtedly, they had heard about all of the things that he had been teaching and doing throughout his journey. He had multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes into a multitude large enough to feed 5,000 people. He had cast out demons and healed diseases, and he had even raised a man's dead daughter from the dead. With authority, he taught in the synagogues and in the hills, putting even the scribes and the Pharisees to shame, leaving them without a leg to stand on. Needless to say, our Lord's celebrity was widely known, and wherever he went, it had preceded him there already. And so people came to them. They came to hear him, and they came to be healed by him. And that is what we see again this morning. Having returned from Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came to the region of the Decapolis with his disciples. It was there that some men brought him a deaf, mute man, a man who could not hear and could not speak. And pleading on this man's behalf, they asked Jesus to lay his hand on him. As he had with so many others, the Lord did have pity on this man. Taking him aside, away from the crowd, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And as sure as the Lord spoke it, it was done. The man's ears were opened, and his tongue was released, freeing him for the first time to speak in his life. Though the man's friends and all the people there had heard about the miraculous things that Jesus had previously done, you can still imagine their amazement at seeing this. A man who did not know how to speak, because he had never heard words before, he was speaking plainly for all to hear. And moreover, even after Jesus' explicit command to tell no one, that was all that he could speak of. Like so many other of the gospel accounts portraying our Lord's power and our Lord's mercy, this lesson again illustrates that fundamental truth of our earthly existence, fallen man's need for healing and redemption, and our Lord's gracious and happy will to provide the very same. Through this narrative of the evangelist Mark, we see a beautiful example of how our Lord opens up our ears and our tongues to speak his word. But for something to be opened, it must have first been closed. So let us then first consider how our ears are closed to good and open to evil. We Americans were people who like drama. If given the choice between a newspaper that has the headline that reads, Governor Caught in Scandalous Affair, and another one that says, All is Well, we'll gladly take the former. It's interesting, it's news, and every editor and every cable news producer knows that. There's no news like bad news, and we love it. We feed off of reports of other people's downfalls and other people's troubles. Even though we might sympathize with them, we still at least like to hear about it. We like to be in the know, to hear all of the scuttlebutt. But our fascination with others' hardships is not restricted to the gossip columns about the rich and the famous. Far more common is our interest in our neighbor next door or in the pew next to us. His troubles, addictions, and failures, and the like are better than any reality TV show we can see, because we have a front row seat to it. And what's more, The best part about being in close proximity to a fallen saint is that we ourselves look good by comparison. All this is to say, in spite of our best efforts to cling to what is good, we so find ourselves itching for what is not. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, our Lord said. And a better description of the battle that rages inside of each one of us cannot be found. The good in this life, the good in life that our spirit longs to hear, is often drowned out by the static of the bad which appeals to our flesh. So yes, like the man in the lesson, our ears are certainly closed. They are stopped up with our sin and our own self-righteousness to the point of making us deaf, or at least hard of hearing, to what is good. But if our closed ears do not completely demonstrate our lack of charity, what comes out of our mouths leaves us with no doubt. So, in the second place, with more clarity than anything else, our tongues reveal the wickedness that is in our hearts. When we speak about other people, so very often the things that we say are not good things. We slander, we lie, we exaggerate, and we even speculate. We add links to the chain of gossip which hurts our neighbor's good name and his reputation, all just in the name of reporting the facts or letting you know what I heard first. And meanwhile, we justify ourselves while we're doing it. It's a matter of public record, or it's not wrong to say it if everyone knows that it's true. And of course, these sins of the tongue aren't restricted to the eighth commandment alone. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If only they were. As we heard in the text that Pastor preached on last week, it is not what goes into a person's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of it. Scoffing, hatred, deceit, and coarse words freely flow from our lips and enter into the ears, the willing ears, of our neighbors with natural ease. But what is that to us? They're just words, right? People need to grow thicker skin. Someone had to say it to her. It might as well have been me. And though the refrain of our excuses goes on, they only lead us further away from seeing that we are actually just like the deaf-mute man. Our tongues are in bondage to sin. And so we must repent. The Apostle James said in our epistle this morning, "Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point is accountable for all of it." Or that is to say, whoever hears and speaks only what is good but fails once is guilty of hearing and speaking no good at all. And there you are. There I am, all of us, together, unrighteous, unholy, and unclean, standing before God, deaf to his rebukes to us, and mute in our own defense. What hope can there be for us? None, save that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like he did with the deaf-mute man in the region of the Decapolis, we need Jesus to cleanse our ears and our tongues from evil, from sin. The first century audience of Jesus' healing miracles, they all had the words of Isaiah the prophet on their minds. Your God will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. And that is exactly what they witnessed that day. There in front of them, a man who had been deaf and mute for probably his entire life was taken aside by our Lord by himself, and he was healed. He stuck his fingers in his ears and in his mouth, and he opened them. Where formerly the man's world had been silent, it was now alive with noise, words, music, and laughter, things that he could only previously have dreamed about. his thoughts, his desires that formerly had gone unexpressed, at least verbally, now flowed freely from his opened mouth. And as the Lord healed the deaf-mute man, so too does he heal you. With his finger, he removes what blocks your ears from hearing good, and with his saliva, he cleans your filthy tongue from evil. He washes you clean and places his body and his blood in your mouth to eat and to drink, giving you a righteousness that you could never obtain on your own. And as he does this, he speaks his peace to you. He tells you of what he has done for you. To your opened ears, he describes your great need for you, and then he describes how he has fulfilled that need, how he carried the accursed tree that he was to be hung upon to the place to where he spoke and performed the absolution for the world's sin, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And there from his dry mouth, he proclaimed to a deaf world its redemption. And so by his death, our Lord opens up your ears to hear his forgiveness and your mouths to speak the same forgiveness to others. The mercy that he showed to the man in the Decapolis was a type of the mercy that he would show to you. It is a picture of the life together that the church enjoys in the remission of sins, and to round out our theme that we are highlighting of witness, mercy, and life together, it is a witness to the whole world of the hope that we have in him, in us. Like the healed man, we go forth zealously proclaiming the good news of our Lord to all people. And so in conclusion, hear your Lord's words to you. He says, "I forgive you. Your sins to me are no more." And speak your Lord's words to your neighbor, saying the same thing. "I forgive you. Your sins to me are no more." The Lord does not want to destroy us in our sinful bodies. He wants to forgive them. He wants to heal them. And finally, on the last day, he wants to raise them up incorruptible. And so he has, and so he will. He has redeemed the sinful ear and tongue, turning their unholiness into holiness, opening them to what is good. And with our ears open from the deafness of sin, we ourselves may proclaim now to all people our Savior's work. He has done all things well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.